You're listening to the Cornerstone Word of Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this teaching from Pastor Mark. For more information on our church, please visit cwol.org.
Amen. All right. Glory. Well, it's good to see you. You're ready. And so, we think about gratitude, as we think about being grateful, as we think about being thankful, one of the things that I often do and teach is I look at the opposite. Because if I can look at the opposite, it helps me better understand what I'm thinking about. So the opposite of gratitude is what? Being ungrateful. Being unthankful. And that's not any of us in the room, but I just wanted to tell you something. Because in Luke chapter 17, remember we've been talking a lot about this one, because for me, one of the things about gratitude really for me comes from this scripture. And so you remember the account, there's 10 lepers, and 9 of them are covenant, 1 is not a covenant, and they begin to call on the Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. And so Jesus said what? He said, go show yourself to the priest. And as they went, their leprosy dried up. But one of them turned around and came back and gave thanks. And that's what we concentrate on. But I want you to notice something. So let's look at Luke chapter 17. Let's look at Luke chapter 17. Sometimes we just breeze past this. But this is important to the Lord. It's important to the Father. It's important for us to look at this. Luke chapter 17, verses 17 through 19. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? In other words, this is not just him saying something. He's not ridiculing the other 9, but he has a really sincere question because he knows how the Father operates and what's in his heart. And he said this, he said, where's the other 9? So if you look at it this way, and I don't think you can always do this, but I decided something last night, and I think you all decided something, whether you knew it or not. I want to be one out of the 10. I want to be one of the 10%. I've decided the majority's not always right. It's good to be in a majority, but sometimes the 9/10, 9 of them thought it was unimportant. 9 of them didn't have it in their heart. And the Lord healed them anyway, knowing they weren't going to be grateful. They just invoked their covenant and got what was theirs and left. And how do you know God is a covenant-keeping God? And the promises of God are yes and amen. And the Lord blesses us, and he keeps his word to us. But there is something that he really wants today more than anything else you've got, and that's your heart. He wants you, because if he has you, he has your, if he has your heart, he has your finances. If he has you, he has your children. If he has you, he has your time. If he has you, he has your talents. But the truth is, the Lord looked at this and he said, where are the other 9? Now, the one who came back, we concentrate on him because he just came back to say thanks. How many of you know he didn't come back to be made whole? I don't really believe he's like, okay, I heard Jesus teach on this the other day. I'm going to whip around here. I'm going to go back, get at his feet, tell him thank you so I can get my nose back. That's not what he did. He was just grateful. And out of the abundance of his heart came this gratitude. And because of that gratitude, remember, I don't know if you remember 2 weeks ago, I was telling you, there is a place that you get in faith that it's not something. Sometimes we have to put on gratitude. Sometimes we have to put on praise. Sometimes we just got to fill our mouths on purpose. But there's a place, just like the confession of faith, there's a place of gratitude that comes even before you see it, even before you feel it, even before it manifests from the earth. You're grateful because you've got it. And you really know you have it, and so you're grateful. When someone gives you a gift, come on, y'all, we're from the South. What do we say? We say thank you. Amen? Someone goes and gets you some barbecue and some sweet tea, you should just say thank you. Amen. You know, they all try to make sweet tea all over the country now, but they just can't. Anyway, they try. Bless their hearts. Anyway, so what I want you to see, I want you to turn with me to Romans chapter 1. I just want to look at this just a little bit, and then I want to look at something. Then we're going to lead into something. But this is real important, Romans chapter 1. Because if we can look at what something is not, and the Lord, it bothers him. It just didn't go unnoticed. Where were the other nine? And you and I have got to decide, we're going to be the 1 out of 10. We're going to be the 10%, if that's what it is. In other words, I'm going to be the one that's going to be grateful. I'm deciding that I'm going to be grateful. No matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, I'm going to be grateful. Romans 1:21. It says, because that when they knew God, so these are people that knew God. They know who God is. They glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Now, if you follow this scripture on down, it gets really nasty from there. This is talking about people worshiping other gods. It's talking about people doing things with their body that God never intended. It really gets, but where did it start? It starts in being, in other words, when they knew God, not glorifying him as God, and it leads into not being grateful. It leads into not being grateful. Everybody says, I am grateful. Because I believe you are. But I need you to see why the world is the way the world is. When you're ungrateful to God, when you're unthankful to God, it leads to a place of dark imaginations, which leads to all kinds of places. We've been studying, Pastor Rhonda's been preaching on Wednesday nights about we're living in the last days. Y'all believe we're living in the last days? If you hadn't believed you were living in the last days and you heard her preach, you would know we are living in the last days. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, not going to go through all of it, but one of the signs of the last days is people being ungrateful. King James says unthankful. One of the signs of people have turned away from God and the way they live in the last days, which is true. They're not only just ungrateful, but they're ungrateful to God. Now, in this, I want you to see this, if you can, 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 7 out of the New Living Translation. Now, if you pick it up, these are people fighting over basically who's the best leader. And yet, there's something in here, and I want you to put that up on the screen in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 out of the New Living Translation. Pick it up in the middle. It says, what do you have that God hasn't given you? I want you to think about it. What do you have that God hasn't given you? Well, you know, I'm pretty smart. God gave you that. I'm pretty good with my hands. God gave you that. I have an exceptional personality. Good for you. God gave that to you. I don't really need God's help. I'm often, when I think about this, reminded of the story Pastor Rhonda tells about one of her nephews. About basically him, I don't know what it was, the Bart Simpson, lifestyle. Basically, I've done this my way. Why would I give God anything back? You know, why would I give anything to God? And my sweet little kind wife, I guess, just kind of jerked a knot in his tail. And if you don't know what that means, that's a good Midwestern expression. In other words, he got in trouble and she straightened him out. Because the truth of the matter is, put that back up, the truth of the matter is what? What do you have that God has not given you? And your answer is what? Nothing. And if everything you have is from God, he even helps you out. And if everything you have is from God, why boast as though it were not a gift? The reason you're breathing today is because of God. The reason you had enough sense to come to church today is because of God. The reason you didn't get killed in an accident is because of God. The reason you can go to work tomorrow is because of God. The reason that you're in your right mind is because of God. The reason you can walk is because of God. Everything you got is because of God. And whether that'll help you out even if everything's not perfect. Come on, if you had one kidney that didn't work, you ought to thank God for the one that does. If you got two different colors of eyes, it makes you mad. Thank God for the blue one or whatever. I don't know. You can find something. Oh, you're just being positive. I'm being positive that God gave me everything. So what do I need to be? Grateful. I remember when I first married my wife, Pastor Rhonda, when she'd just gotten back from India, when she would, we'll look at it a little, maybe a little later, but even like praying over our food. If you go out to eat with us, no matter where we are, who we're with, we always pray over our food. We're grateful. But when we first got married, when we prayed over our food, she really prayed over our food. Even at home, when nobody could see us, she was grateful. And when she would say, Lord, I just thank you for a clean bed to sleep in. Yeah, what? Well, if you've ever slept with bugs, I mean, she's grateful. But you shouldn't have to have a bad experience to be grateful for the good things that you have. Unfortunately, with human beings, sometimes something bad has to happen before they're grateful for the good things that they have. Don't let that happen to you. And so in this gratitude challenge, just be reminded that there are people who are ungrateful and how God looks at it. He noticed the nine. He noticed the nine. Were there not 10? Where are the other nine? And he said in the last days, basically, that people would be unthankful. And we don't want to be grouped in with them. And he said, when we're not grateful to God, that in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, what he said, when we're not grateful we don't acknowledge him as God, and we're not grateful, we're not thankful, we get weird imaginations, and it leads us down a road we don't want to go. And everything you have came from God. And so the truth of the matter is, since you and I are grateful, I want to continue to think about it. So what did the man do in Luke 17, the guy that came back? He came back and just simply said, thank you. He fell at Jesus' feet, but he just simply said, thank you. Everybody in the room say, thank you.
Thank you.
Are you grateful?
Yes.
And so we're not being grateful to get something because we've already got everything. We're just grateful for what we have. But I was thinking, too, of some other people. And I always think of this woman. I really appreciate her. In Luke chapter number 7, let's turn there. Luke chapter 7, the woman with the alabaster box. Y'all remember her? She was called a sinner. They were at a house. Luke chapter 7. A Pharisee named Simon, this is not Simon Peter, but another Simon, invited Jesus to his house. And while he was there, let's just look at in Luke 7, 37, it says, and behold, a woman of the city, which was a sinner. I think that means everybody knew who she was. When she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment. And stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. What's the big deal? Well, the first big deal is in that culture that feet are very unclean. In other words, people that washed feet were servants because of what they walked in, because of how they traveled. It was, remember when Jesus washed their feet and Peter said, Lord, you're never going to wash my feet. Why? Because it was servants' jobs to wash feet. Feet were very unclean. Feet were, it's just not something that people dealt with. And so it was a low thing. And so what she's showing is, I'm willing to go to the lowest to elevate you to the highest. Because of what you did for me. Because of what you did for me. And then to wipe his feet with her hair. And she cried enough to produce water. But the whole thing was, and you remember, people got an, does he know who's touching him? If he really was a prophet, wouldn't he know that this is a dirty sinner woman? And then Judas, keeper of the treasury, champion of the poor, probably siphoning money, said, we could have sold that. Because really, most people say it was 1 year's worth of wages. So take what, let's just say $100,000. Somebody's pouring $100,000 on somebody's feet. And Jesus said, leave her alone. First of all, you who are complaining, you didn't do anything when I came here. And then she's doing this for my burial, and she'll be talked of, and we're doing it right now. She'll be talked about forever. So the Lord really appreciated what this woman was doing. And so my point to you is, when you're grateful, you'll not only say something, you'll not only worship, because remember what the leper did? He came back and he worshiped, and it made him whole. But this woman, she worshiped in a different way. She poured an alabaster box, this ointment that was in her alabaster box, that was a year's salary. She poured it on and cleaned Jesus' feet, left an aroma, cried, washed his dirty feet with her hair, and it made such an impression on the Lord that it's in the Word of God in 3 of the 4 Gospels. And she was such a noteworthy woman. But what was it the alabaster box? Was it the year's worth of wages? No. The thing that was, it was her gratitude. See, if you and I are grateful, it'll cause us to do the extraordinary for the Lord. It gets his attention. She wasn't there to make a spectacle. As a matter of fact, he had to berate the people because this extravagant worship of hers caught the eyes of these guys that were around, and they were basically making fun of her and telling her to quit and you did the wrong thing. And Jesus had to come to her defense and say, leave her alone. I'm telling you what, you know, it's not for anybody else. See, your worship, your gratitude is not for those around you. It's just for him. And when it really comes out of your heart, when it really is, but it's not just words sometimes. Sometimes it's expressed in an action. You say, well, if he was here. But you see, remember what he said. If you've given someone a cup of water in my name, you visit somebody in prison in my name. So when you do unto others, it's like you're doing it unto him. And if you'll do it with that heart of gratitude towards him, you know, I'm not saying you have to take a year's worth of salary and do something. I'm not saying anything like that. I'm not saying you have to cry over somebody's feet. But there's something that because of what the Lord did for you, it'll cause an action. If you're really grateful, it'll cause an action. Lord, Holy Ghost, Lord, help me get what's in my heart out to the Lord. I want to show him how much I love him, how much I appreciate everything that he's done for me. Amen. It'll be manifest in different ways. What about, you remember that guy, the man with the legion of demons? Y'all remember that? Remember, he was a mess. Remember, he was in they kept him in a cave, and they kept him all chained up. And, you know, people always concentrate on the fact that, he was naked and they were afraid, and Jesus talked to the demon and all that. People always look at that side of it. But I like to look at this side. I want you to look with me, if you can, in Luke chapter 8. We're going to look at verse 38. Luke chapter 8, verse 38. It says, now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. So here's this man who was out of his mind, sitting naked, and there were enough demons in him that they went into a bunch of pigs and they went down and into the jumped into the water and killed themselves. I mean, so this guy was really messed up. Everybody was afraid of him. And now suddenly, he's in his right mind, fully clothed, and it really messed with everybody. Because everybody's like, Jesus, you need to go away. Because this is just a phenomenal, extraordinary event where now this man is in his right mind. And so this man, with his gratitude, how many of you know you'd be grateful if you were sitting in a cave naked and chained up and then suddenly you're in your right mind again? And maybe it's not been that extreme for some of you in this room, but I tell you one thing, it is good to be in your right mind. It's good not to be a sinner. It's good to be free. I said it's good to be free. It's good to be free. And because Jesus set you free, made you free, then what? There's something you're going to want to do. What this man wanted to do is he just basically wanted to go be with Jesus, follow Jesus. I could just see him thinking, I'll do your dry cleaning even before the age of dry cleaning. I'll shine your sandals. I'll get your food. I'll go fishing for you. I'll do whatever. And Jesus said, nope, I don't want you to follow me. But there is one thing you can do. I want you to go back to your hometown. I want you to go back. Everybody knows you, and I just want you to tell them about me. Because first time Jesus came to this area, they were afraid. The second time, he had miracles there. And what did that? This man, come on, even if you've never seen the guy, everybody knew who he was. You know, it's like, you know, when the Bible talks about when a miracle happened in a city, two whole cities came to know the Lord because of one miracle. In the same way, this man, everybody knew him. Everybody knew that he was chained up in a cave, and suddenly he's in his right mind, and now he's standing in front of me telling me about the man that set him free. I'm going to listen. I'm going to listen because this guy is so grateful. Everybody say gratitude. Gratitude. Gratitude causes you to not only say something and worship the Lord, gratitude will cause you to do something. True gratitude will cause, not that gratitude, not in a way, because we think this is a human, well, I got to pay him back. There's nothing you can do to pay him back. It's not payback. It is more of, man, I'm so grateful that it causes me to dump a year's salary on you. It causes me to wash your feet. It causes me to do something that's out of my comfort zone, even though people are ridiculing me. It causes me that even though I want to go with you and you want me to stay, I'll do what you want. I'll do it out of gratitude. I'm going to tell everybody what you've done for me. It's out of gratitude. But, you know, what is it for you? What is that for me? What does that mean? Well, one thing, worship. You know, just like the leper, he came back and worshiped. How many know you can worship God? Hebrews 13:15, by him, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. If you want to give God your highest and best, then when I say it's time to worship, then you need to open up your mouth. Because that's the highest and the best. I don't care if you clap. I don't care if you jump. I don't care if you run around the room. But while you're doing it, do it with your mouth open. Thanking God for who he is. Because that's the highest and the best. Because that's the highest and the best. Open your mouth. Tell him who he is to you. Being grateful for what he's done. What else can you do? Well, I mean, you can give time. If you weren't here Wednesday night, Pastor Rhonda gave we had a Holy Ghost kind of meeting before, and then I turned it over her, and we looked at, she taught us something from the Word of God that, I don't know, it changed my life. I think it changed other people's lives too. Talking about your time. How many of you know everybody's got 24 hours? Everybody's got 7 days in a week. How you spend them is up to you. Everybody gets the same amount. And when you give God your time, and even when the Lord had me get up and exhort, even tithing and giving offerings is an expression of your time. It's an expression of your time. That old saying, time is money, is true. And so when you give God, what can you give God? Well, you can give, you can serve. When you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto him. So how are you serving? Are you grateful for what God's... Listen, we don't want to be a group of people that all we are is served. We want to be people who are serving others. Amen. We want to be someone who, and that's our gratitude to the Lord. Not so. So come on. We live in a society right now that everything has to be given to us. That everything has to be fast food in a drive-through. Everything has to be right now. We want people. You know, everybody needs to just do their, you know, do their thing. But the truth of the matter is, we need to be a people that have a servant's heart. And when you give to God by serving others, whether it's in church, whether it's in this community, whether it's at work, even going above and beyond, come on, just doing the little things and serving some people. You know, it's so funny. I just have this habit of I just love to open doors for people. I could stand at a restaurant probably all day. Maybe I want to be a greeter. I don't know. But some people are surprised. Some people don't like it. Because they feel like they got to do something for you. But you know what? Just do it anyway. Love somebody. Help somebody. And definitely in church, we're family. We should be serving one another. Amen? And then another one is, it just really is. I'll just be blunt. Our money. How about the woman with two mites? The widow, she gave everything she had. Well, the Lord doesn't care what you give. He obviously does. He was watching. He obviously cares. Well, it's just that important. Not true. I know in modern church it's not important. They hide that part of the service now because it offends people. But we don't get to rewrite the book. It's important to God. And don't get me started. Anything you do to devalue what God values, that shows ungrateful. It really does. And I know that people have taken things to an extreme, but just because, you know, I say it like this, just because some people don't know how to wear cologne, I'm still going to wear some. Just because somebody got killed, a car ran them over, I'm still going to drive mine. Just because people are in error doesn't mean I can't hold to the truth. And it doesn't help the truth to shy away when people get crazy. Have people done wrong things with money concerning God? Sure, you can turn it on the TV tonight after you come to the meeting here. And you can see people misusing the scripture to get money. Don't buy no tent, nothing. Don't buy no oil, nothing. Don't pay for no prophecies. People have extreme. But guess what? When I tithe, when I give, it is a place of gratitude to God. It's part of my gratitude. One of the things with gratitude is just really just putting God first in everything. I want you to see this scripture. Colossians 3:17. And I believe you are the people who do this. I just want to remind you. Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So when you go to work, do it in the name of the Lord. Be grateful about it. When you go to play, when you go watch your favorite football team, when you're playing golf, are you serious? Yes. Do it in the name of the Lord. Well, how do you do that? Just being aware of God in everything you do. Come on. Whatever you do, to Kroger, to Walmart, to Publix, they cover most of them, do it in the name of the Lord. I mean, just be ready. Just do good things. I mean, whatever. My wife does good when she goes to Kroger. She leaves, it irritates me. I'm glad I don't have to go with her. She leaves coupons everywhere. She wants to bless somebody. I don't know. I think it takes time. But she wants to do it. It's just, I mean, just find a little thing, little ways you can help people. Everything you do, do in the name of the Lord. I want to end with this in Psalms 100. I want to read this because to me, this kind of sums up what I want you to get today. Everybody say, I'm grateful. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. We did that, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Everybody say, I'm serving the Lord with gladness. Not madness, gladness. Amen. Come before his presence with, we did that. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that made us. How many know, since he made us, we ought to be grateful. And not we of ourselves, we didn't do it. He made it. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Then what are we supposed to be doing? Enter into his gates with, enter into his courts with, be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. I'm telling you what, this generation is going to hear the truth about the goodness of God.
We hope you were inspired by today's message. If you want to hear more from the Word of God, head over to cwol.org, check us out on YouTube or any social platform under @CWallMadison. We believe God is working within you, and we want you to know him so you too can make him known.